John doesn't mention it, but Mark and Matthew do, the fact that Jesus cried in a loud voice from the cross, speaking the opening words of Psalm 22. Obviously, Jesus meditated often on the Hebrew Scriptures, and so it should not surprise us that Jesus' mind would go back to this particular psalm as he hung there in great agony. There are many parallels between Psalm 22 and what the Gospels tell us of the last suffering of Jesus. There's the mocking, the hurling of insults, the shaking of heads, the pains of death detailed, the sufferer surrounded, stared at, even pierced, and his garments parceled out by lot. When we read all of this in Psalm 22 and compare it with the gospel accounts of Jesus' death, it's no wonder that this psalm should be thought of as prophecy. Was it so for the original human author? Was he caught up like Ezekiel and shown the shape of things to come? No doubt it could have been so. But we don't necessarily need to think of Psalm 22 in that way. Either David or some unknown sufferer in ancient Israel may have been writing of his own suffering. But of course, the Holy Spirit added another dimension to this writing that the original author never could have imagined. And so let's think for a few moments about that other dimension. What did these words mean in the mouth of Jesus? My God, why have you forsaken me? Obviously, Jesus felt forsaken on the cross. Who wouldn't? Jesus was fully human as well as fully divine, and as a full human being, he felt in the moment of his greatest agony forsaken by his God. But don't miss this point. He calls him my God. Jesus does not address some distant, unknown deity. Rather, he addresses the one he has known as Abba from the foundation of the world. My God. Why did Jesus feel forsaken? He felt it for us. He plumbed the depths of what evil could do and what evil makes us feel. But was he forsaken? To suggest that Jesus was forsaken by God is to bring up some of the most horrible pictures that we've ever had of God. Seeing God as some vengeful sort of deity. What would we think? Think about it for a moment. What would we think of a human father who punished his son in the way that God is supposed to have punished his son on the cross? We'd want to lock him up and throw away the key. But if we are to believe what the rest of the New Testament teaches us about Jesus, that he was and is the divine Son of God, if we're to believe what the church teaches, that he was and is the second person of the Trinity, then such a Trinity admits of no divorce. The Father and the Son can never truly be separated. Therefore, Jesus was not forsaken of the Father on the cross, though he understandably felt so. Rather, I think, in a mysterious way, the Father was undertaking the suffering and death of the whole world in the person of his Son. The right picture we should have of Good Friday is the picture, as C.S. Lewis says, of a God stooping lower and lower to pick up some very great and complicated burden and then miraculously carrying it off on his shoulders. That burden was your sin and mine and the sin and the suffering and the death of the whole world, of everyone who has ever lived or is ever living now or ever will live on this sin-sodden planet. God took on all of our pain in Jesus, and He did it supremely through the cross. That, I believe, is the right picture of Good Friday. And furthermore, it's a picture that doesn't simply end in suffering. There is, even in Psalm 22, a note of triumph. From the horns of the wild oxen, You have rescued me. I will tell of Your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise You. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify Him. Stand in awe of Him, all you offspring of Israel. For He did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide His face from me, but heard when I cried to Him. And then it ends on this note. And proclaim His deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that He has done it. The last four words of the psalm, "He has done it," sound very much like Jesus' last words from the cross. "It is finished." Really, it was one last word that's translated in English into three words, "Tetelestai." And in speaking the first words of Psalm 22, Jesus no doubt had the whole psalm in mind. He would have had the whole thing memorized. And the entire psalm would have been recalled to the minds and hearts of those who heard Jesus speak the first words. No doubt Jesus' followers did not understand this at first. But after He rose from the dead, they surely saw the significance. Let me close this brief meditation with N.T. Wright's commentary on Jesus' last words as recorded in the Gospel of John. "Finished, accomplished, completed." Jesus' last word, which sums it all up. Part of its meaning is that everything that had gone before has now come together. This is where it was all going. This is what it was all about. Part of its meaning is that in Jesus' world, that word "finished" was what you wrote on a bill when it had been settled, paid in full. But underneath these is the meaning John intends, I believe, most deeply. When God the Creator made His wonderful world, at the end of the sixth day, He finished it. He completed His work, and now on the Friday, the sixth day of the week, Jesus has completed the work of redeeming the world. With His shameful, chaotic, horrible death, He has gone to the very bottom, to the darkest and deepest place of the ruin, and has planted there the sign that says, "Rescued." It's the sign of love. The love of the Creator for His ruined creation. The love of the Savior for His ruined people. Yes, of course, it all has to be worked out. The victory has to be implemented. But it's done. It's completed. It's finished. And now here in this community, in this church, there are plenty of Marys and Johns. Plenty of people for whom life isn't going to be the same again. Our job is to stand and wait at the foot of the cross and to see what fresh word may come to us concerning the way forward, the way of becoming a community again. Good Friday is the point at which God comes into our chaos to be there with us in the middle of it, and to bring us His new creation. Let us pause and give thanks and listen for His words of love and healing.